Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Three sons were deciding on what gifts they were going to buy for their elderly mother on her birthday. The first son, being quite wealthy, decided to buy her a new big house. The second son, also pretty well-to-do, bought her a brand new Mercedes that even came with a driver. The youngest son, well, he thought, what am I going to buy my mother that she will really like? And he came up with what he thought was the perfect idea. He knew that she loved the Bible so much. And so he bought her a parrot, which had been specially trained to recite Bible verses. All she had to do was suggest a reference, and the parrot would start reciting these verses. A few weeks later, the first son got a letter saying it was a very nice house, but it was just too big, and it took all of her time to clean the house. The second son got a letter saying the car was just too fancy for her, and besides that, the driver was a little rude. The third son got a letter saying, "Son, you're the only one who truly understands me. Your two brothers give me stuff that I really don't want, but you are such a good son. Thank you. The chicken was delicious." Misunderstandings can have consequences, right? Dire consequences. In fact, they can be downright deadly. For you, for me, or for a parrot. Misunderstandings. That's what we're talking about here today. Jesus came into contact in our gospel lesson with a group of people called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had a gross misunderstanding of the Word of God and of what God wanted out of us, His people. And those misunderstandings have dire consequences. Once again from Mark 7, "So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, 'Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?' He replied, 'Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions.'" So this whole situation is revolving around the disciples eating with unwashed hands. Now, this had nothing to do with cleanliness and avoiding germs. This had everything to do with a ceremonial washing that the elders and the Pharisees of the day had passed down from generation to generation. From the Mishnah that came out in the first century AD, we get just a taste of how crazy and a little bit ridiculous it was, this ceremonial washing. It says, "You should wash your right hand first and then your left. The water must cover your whole hand until the wrist, and no part of the hand should be untouched by water. Therefore, in order to accomplish this, your fingers should be parted slightly and raised somewhat upward so that the water reaches the entire length of the fingers, the fingertips, and the circumference of the fingers. The water should be poured on the hand in one flow. Therefore, you should not wash from a container with a narrow mouth from which the water cannot be emptied at one time. It is also proper to pour water twice on each hand." And this is just a small section of this whole part in the Mishnah having to do with ceremonially washing hands. Pastor Ryan's going to be talking next week a little bit more about this group of Pharisees. But what the Pharisees would always do is they would erect what they called a fence around the law, because they said, we don't want to even come close to breaking the law. And so what did they do? They came up with all of these rules and regulations that were so hard for anyone in people's hearts. And that leads us to our first of three misunderstandings that we're going to be talking about here today. We misunderstand the message of the Bible when we, like the Pharisees, think that what God wants more than anything else is for us to keep an outward set of rules. That's not what God is looking for. It's all about love. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord is always looking inward to the heart. It matters to the Lord what we do on the outside. But you know, we can be doing the right thing on the outside for the wrong reason. And the only one that may ever recognize that or see that is the Lord, because he is always looking beyond what we do on the outside to why are we doing it. The Lord is always looking at the heart. It says in Matthew 22, one of the Pharisees, one of these guys that we're talking about, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Out of all the laws and rules and regulations in the Bible, what is the greatest one? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is the repeated word there? It's love. What are all of God's rules and regulations in the Bible all about? It all comes down to one thing, love. Loving God and loving people. And if you look at any of the rules and regulations, or if you're trying to follow those things, and you look at them in any other way other than God gave them to us so that we would be able to love him and to love others, then you're misunderstanding what it's all about. That's what was happening with these Pharisees. They thought what God wanted is for us to keep these very stringent rules and regulations on the outside. And Jesus was saying, you're saying all the right things. You look like you're religious. But I, who can see beyond all that, recognize that your hearts are far from me, and they're far from what all of this was meant for in the first place. And then Jesus gives an example of how they're misunderstanding this. He said, Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But I say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is Corban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many other things like that. During the time of Jesus, there was this thing that people could do. They could dedicate an amount of money or a possession to the Lord. And when they would do that, they would call that Corban. Now, what people ended up doing is if they didn't really want to give something to their parents or to a family member or to the poor, instead of having to give it to them, they would say, listen, I would really like to help you out. Unfortunately, this amount of money that I would have given to you, or this possession that I know that you need, is Corban. It's dedicated to the Lord, so I'm really sorry. And in that way, they would keep from giving what each other needs. And so Jesus is saying, you're missing the whole boat. The whole thing's about love. That's what all of the rules and regulations are about, loving God and loving people. So we misunderstand the message of the Bible when we think that's what God wants, just to keep a bunch of rules and regulations, when in the end, it's all about love. God is love, and he wants us then to love each other and to love him the way that he loves us. So that's number one. We misunderstand the message of the Bible when we understand it's, when we misunderstand that it's not all about love. Number two, we misunderstand the message of the Bible when we think the message can be changed to fit the culture of today. God doesn't want us to change him or his message. He wants to change us. Now, I'm sure that after the first bullet point up here, there would be some that would say, yes, Pastor, that's what I've been trying to say for a long time. It's all about love. It doesn't matter what we do as long as we're loving, right? Well, no. These two things we have to keep in balance. You see, in Isaiah 29, it says, you turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? If you've got a room and there's a potter and a pot in that room, who's in charge? Who's making what? The potter is in charge. The potter is forming the clay. But when we say, I don't really like the message of the Bible, or the message of the Bible doesn't fit our society or our culture today, we have to change that, then that's like the pot saying, I want to form the potter in a different way. But he's the potter and we're the clay, and he's interested in changing us so that we would be more like him, not the other way around. See, this was one of the problems that the Pharisees were doing in their day, and it's a problem that we see in our day as well. There's the whole gamut of churches that go by the term Christian churches, and there's a whole bunch of churches in our world today that what I would call more progressive Christianity. What does this mean? Well, just kind of what we're talking about, that they basically say, you know what, all those things that God said that he doesn't like, or those things that he prohibits, let's throw those things out. They don't match our society today, as long as we're loving, right? But what's the definition of love here? The definition of love is let everybody do whatever they want to do, and that is love. But actually, that isn't love. Why? Because God knows far better than any of us what is going to be good for us and what isn't, what is going to bless us and what is going to harm us and harm those around us. And remember, for God, it's all about love. So when he prohibits something, it's because he knows it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt our relationship. It's going to hurt your relationship with others. And that's why sometimes God says no. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, cultures may change. Churches even may change. But you know the one person that never changes? God. He never changes. His opinions on things 4,000, 3,000, 2,000 years ago when the Bible was written are exactly the same today as they were when they were originally written. He hasn't changed with the culture. In fact, what does God want to do? He wants to change us so that we begin to see things once again as he sees them. Many years ago, Voltaire wrote this: "In the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favor ever since." That's pretty much what sin is. We say, "God, I don't like the way you are. I don't like the rules that you've given. They don't match. They don't fit. They're outdated. We're going to change you and your Bible into our image." But as we do that, we are harming ourselves and we're harming others because, like I said, God knows better than we what is going to lead to the most blessing in your and my life. So we got to keep these two things in balance. We misunderstand the message of the Bible when we think that it's not all about love. And secondly, we misunderstand the message of the Bible when we think that that message that God has given to us can be changed to fit our society. He wants to change us. That's why we come to church every week. This is why we read our Bible and do our devotions, because God is in the process of changing us, making us more like him in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And finally, we misunderstand the message of the Bible when we don't recognize that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is the central message of the Bible because he enables us to do those things that God wants us to do. And he forgives us whenever we fail. Jesus is the central message of the Bible. This is why Luther said many years ago, if you cut the Bible on any page, it would bleed the blood of Jesus. Or Jesus said it this way on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That must have been quite a conversation. As Jesus started laying out, this is where I am in Genesis. This is where I am in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and on and on and on. In John 5, he says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Jesus is the central message of the Bible. He is by far the most important character in the whole Bible. Why? Because he does two really important things. Because of his perfect life, because of his death on the cross, and because of his resurrection, he sends us now the Holy Spirit who enables us to follow those things that God wants us to do. And like I said, when we fail, he's there to wash away every one of our sins and give us a fresh new start. When Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." What was Jesus talking about? He was saying, "I am going to institute a brand new covenant, a brand new agreement between you and God, and it's going to be far better than the one that the people in the Old Testament had." It says in Jeremiah 31, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. And this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." That's the essence of a covenant. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And what does it mean that you're going to be my people? I'm going to put my law on your hearts so that you're thinking about it, so that you desire to follow my law, trusting in me. Instead of it just being out there on a page or on a scroll, it's going to be in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or as it says in Philippians 2, "For it is God who works in you to will and to do, to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. That's part of this new covenant. He's going to put those things on your and my heart so that we want to do them, so that we desire to be about God's way of doing things, that we desire to have him change us, not the other way around. But like I said, there's a second part to this covenant. Not only is he going to put his law on our hearts that we would want to do it, but inevitably we're going to fail, aren't we? And that's where the second part of that covenant is so sweet. In this new covenant, he says, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What a beautiful covenant was worked for us through Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians 1, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has now brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God loves you. He loves me. And that's why he gave us all of those things to do and those things that he prohibits us from doing, because he wants you and me to have the best, most fulfilling life possible. He knows that we could never do it on our own. And so what did he do? He put his Holy Spirit inside of us, that we would have the will to do those things, that we would desire to follow after him. But knowing that we are weak, knowing that we are still sinful as long as we're here on this earth, he also made a way through the blood of Jesus for us to live under an umbrella of grace and forgiveness, that every time you mess up, it's washed away as quickly as you ask him for forgiveness, and you get right back up and continue to follow him. The Bible is an extraordinary book, full of law and full of that sweet gospel. And we want to make sure that we don't misunderstand the message of the Bible. We understand God's word correctly when we see all of God's laws as being all about love. His love for us and our love for him and our love for one another. We understand God's word correctly when we see our God is unchanging, but yet he's interested in changing us. And finally, we understand God's word correctly when we recognize that Jesus is the message of the Bible. He enables us to do what God's will is, and he forgives us when we fail. May God enable us by his Holy Spirit that as we go to his word each day, as we hear it, as we read it, as we learn it, that we would understand it correctly. It's all about love. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.